Well, we're still dealing with American idols, and today our earthly pursuits. You know, that's a powerful song when you think about it, trusting in the Lord. It's easy to say that we're going to trust God, but when it comes down to it, will you trust Him? I mean, when it gets right down where the rubber meets the road. All right, Colossians chapter 2, some very, very, very effective, powerful, to-the-point scripture. Let's all stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant word. Colossians 2, verse 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge meant of the mystery of God. Now, that's what I want y'all to be listening for. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, to whom all are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man, this makes me think of college somehow, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Here's our youth ministry's focus. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And here are my two favorite verses. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Father, thank You for Your word. It will not return void. I pray for Your fresh oil in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Paul's writing to the church at Colossae because these folks are having to deal with teaching. And by the way, do I need to tell you there's a lot of error out there today? Amen. Folks, everything you hear is not correct. And so I want you to pay close attention. And if you would, keep your seat during this time of worship because I want you to be focused on what we need to deal with today, and that is the fact that there's a lot of idols out there called education, career, vocation, and so forth. A lot of idols, and we're pursuing these to what end? Now, this is what was happening in Paul's day. The people were all about knowledge. In fact, it was a big, big deal, knowledge. It was called Gnosticism. It's derived from the Greek word Gnostic, which means knowledge. The Gnostics believed that all the secrets of God were in the mind and appeared in an immaterial identity, and that the possession of knowledge was the only requirement for salvation. They separated matter from thought and did not attribute humanity to Jesus Christ because they considered material things to be evil. They ignored or diminished the significance of the ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus as not being real, but simply apparent. This is why Paul stressed that in Christ, he says, in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Paul's emphasis is being rooted and built up in Christ and not allow the vain philosophies and man's traditions to deceive. Grounded, he's saying, be grounded, and I've shared this with our youth, grounded in your walk, grounded in the Word, grateful in your worship. That's what God is wanting us. Now, it's interesting, and I want to use this sort of as an illustration, which is biblical. In his old age, King Solomon, the richest... Now listen to me, the richest and the wisest man who ever lived, the richest and the wisest man who ever lived had this to say about his earthly pursuits. Ecclesiastes 12:8, vanity of vanities. And he said, all is vanity. Solomon had the most gold ever, the most silver ever. 700 wives, I don't know what he was thinking. 300 concubines, and everything a man could earthly desire. His kingdom was grander than any on earth. By the day's standard, he would be known as a trillionaire. I don't even know how to say the word. Trillionaire. Can you imagine that? Our earthly passions and pursuits, he says, are empty. They're nothing. They're just smoke in the air. It's interesting how here's the smartest man who ever lived on the earth, right? A man of great understanding. He asked God for knowledge and wisdom, and what did God do but give it to him? So only by pursuing God and his righteousness will we profit in this life. I think of that scripture, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? So let's look at our first slide. What, I want to ask you some questions, and I want you to look at the screen so you can think about them. What is it that gives your life meaning, purpose, and fulfillment? Think about it. What would you not give up to serve the Lord? We're getting into idolatry here. What would you not give up to serve the Lord? What are you most passionate about? Boy, that says a lot. What is it that really lights your fire? What is it that really gets you going? Is it a football game? What are you most passionate about? What consumes your time, your energy, and your affection? I'm not done yet, but the screen is. Do you have spiritual pursuits? And here's a question I got. What is success? And who determines what is success? All those are great questions. We're going to give you answers now. All right, number one, standing against earthly pursuits. If we're going to stand against these idols of education and career and vocations and all the things that we seem to think that this is what life is all about, I say again, what shall it profit if you gain it all and you lose your soul? Look at verse 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement, here we go, of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. We're taught and even programmed somehow to pursue higher education, a successful career, to pursue success. I mean, most people will define their life by thinking, if I can just get a good education, I'll get a good job and make a lot of money. And that too is an idol. Money is an idol for a lot of people. Because you know what? As I pointed out, what was it, last week? It still says on our currency, in God we trust. But instead of trusting in the Almighty God, we trust in the Almighty dollar. And it's amazing how all of that is driven for the fact that we are pursuing these idols in this life. The answer to the question I want to give you is found in Colossians 3:5. He tells us that we are to mortify. Are you listening? We're to mortify. That the word means put to death. He says, mortify, verse 5 of Colossians 3, therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, that's sex out of God's order, premarital sex, homosexuality, and so forth, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. That's another word for saying that your thinking's all mixed up. And evil thinking, really. And covetousness, which is idolatry. The answer to Colossians 3:5 is right there in Colossians 2:2 as well. Their hearts might be comforted being knit together in love. Think about it. To love God enough to say no to these idols. Now, I know most people think of idols and think of something that's been carved, some kind of wooden object or some kind of god that's in metal or something like that. But folks, I preached the other week, there are idols of the heart. And they're more so today than ever before, I believe. It says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 13? He says, you can have all knowledge, but if you don't have love, he says, you are nothing. You know, I remember one of my first college professors, he taught history at Campbell. And I don't know if he was trying to intimidate, but he was trying to get us, I guess, to stand on our own 2 feet. And when you leave high school, you learn real quick, you're on your own, buddy. You better be trusting in God. Anyhow, this professor said, I don't like you. He said, I don't like none of my students. I've never liked a student. I think you're a bunch of... he didn't use such a nice word. I went to a Baptist school too. Sometimes Baptists don't use nice words. And he was saying all these terrible things about how that we will not make it, and you'd probably be best not to attend my class, and so forth. And it was rather intimidating. You know what you got to do in life? You got to learn to put things to death. He says, mortify, put it to death, die to this stuff. And he says, being knit together in the love of God. God makes it clear in Scripture to say no to three things: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Are y'all listening to me? Don't get distracted this morning. Saying no to the world, the flesh, and the devil. How easy it is for us to get caught up in this world, to pursue these earthly pursuits and to get all mixed up. God makes it clear in Scripture to say no. Think about it. Go back for a minute. What if Adam and Eve had said no? Oh, man, wouldn't that have been awesome? I want to be a no man to the devil. And this, I think, upset someone this week a little bit. I said, I want to be a yes man to Jesus. Amen. I mean, whatever he tells me to do, I know he's going to lead me right. Are y'all listening this morning? Some of you folks don't look happy today. I want you to smile, all right? I don't want to think I'm standing up here preaching to a dead church this morning. Folks, if there's anything that needs to be dead, it's the world, the flesh, and the devil. We need to die to self so that we become alive in Christ. And we need to be alive in what we have in Jesus Christ. Loving God and loving each other enough to live a godly life. You know, anybody can live like a fool. Anybody can go the way of the world. But it takes a real man, it takes a real woman to say no to the world, the flesh, and the devil. Learning to say no to the idols of this world will gain God's blessing and favor in your life. Let me tell you something. Look up here. You know why I'm preaching this? Number one reason, God hates idols. Let me tell you something. God, you don't have no idea how much God... The Bible says God hates idols. He says you're to have no other gods before me. You're not even to think like that. There is to be no other God in your life but me. All right, so he says if we're going to stand against earthly pursuits, we've got to mortify. We've got to put these things to death. Second of all, we've got to be mindful. He says, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Church, we must walk in full assurance of who and what we are in Jesus Christ. Let me tell you why most Christians don't live a victorious Christian life. They don't know who and what they are in Jesus Christ. They've not read the Word of God. Let me tell you something. If you begin to understand the great riches, and that's what he's saying here, the great riches of the treasures and the wisdom and the knowledge of God, you will understand this. Number one, that God loves you unconditionally. Amen? If that don't light your fire, your wood is wet. And think about this, that God says in His Word, you don't have to prove anything. You don't have to add anything. It's Jesus plus nothing. We are complete in Him is what he's saying. So it's one thing to mortify the deeds of the flesh, but a whole new thing to live in confidence, the full assurance of who and what we are in Christ. Don't ever second guess who and what you are in Jesus Christ. We must have the mind of Christ to stand against this world. Keep your mind clean through the Word of God. Keep your mind clear through the worship of God. Keep your focus right. Keep your mind closed by fellowshipping with God and others. We need each other. You need to be around godly people if you're going to live a godly life. You want to stay on fire? Get around people on fire for God. Folks, we need Sunday school in order to study God's Word together, to worship together, to fellowship together, being knit together in love. That's what he's talking about. We have Sunday school. And you need to be a part of that. You really do if you're going to grow in the Lord. And by the way, I know this. If you are a serious student of God's Word and you're really studying the Bible, you're going to want to learn from others. I love our new members class. I've turned it over to Jeremy, but I'm sitting there and I'm enjoying it and I'm still, you know, I hope I never get to be in this graduates that I can't learn something because then you're dead. I learn something new every day. And if you don't have a desire to learn something new every day, I mean, God gave you a brain. Why don't you use it? We're not commanded to make a unity here. Listen to this. This is profound. We're not commanded to make a unity of the church. It's impossible to join some organization and expect that organization to bring about church unity. The Holy Spirit has already made that unity. It's all believers in the one body, and we're told to keep the unity of the Spirit because the Spirit of God is what brings us together. Our problem today is that we're not keeping the unity of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is what brought us here today. Did you know that? It's not your spirit. Your flesh would have stayed home. And you say, well, I'm here and I don't want to be here. Well, the Holy Spirit brought you here. Amen? Amen. All right. And then we're going to get into it. Here's the good word. Graduates, set up now. I want you to think about this. This is power. Do they say that in school now? They don't want you to learn? I always want people to learn something. I don't want to preach a message and they not get something out of it. The college kid, his first exam in college, he wrote on the paper his exam. He said to the professor, only God knows the answers to these questions. And so he got the paper back. And here's the grade. God, 100. You, 0. And so here's the mystery. I want you to get it. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ. Notice he says in verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. It's a wonderful thing to know something. It's another thing to know how to use something. Man, I mean, you can have knowledge. You can have book sense and not have common sense. You can know a lot of things, but if you don't know how to use what you know, what good is it? By the way, knowledge is powerful, church. Listen to me. Someone said, what you don't know won't hurt you. Well, they're right. It'll kill you. If you don't know how to read a traffic sign or something, you don't know how to read a stop. If you don't know, it can result in your death. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. In this mystery, hidden through the ages, stored up all the treasures. It says all the treasures. I'm going to repeat it one more time. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Not partial wisdom, not fragmented knowledge. He says, but all knowledge and all wisdom. The Apostle Paul used the word mystery here 21 times in this epistle. In each case, the mystery involved a wonderful declaration of spiritual truth revealed by God through divine inspiration. A mystery is that which was not made known to people in other generations as it had been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. Colossians 1, 26, 27 says this, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now, listen, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, he's given us the definition of the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery is that as Jews and Gentiles would become one in Christ as a church. That's the mystery of God that was not revealed to the Old Testament. Here we are in the New Testament, and the mystery of God is that God is joining together Jew and Gentile in his church. Well, how is that so important for us today? This is the mystery. Christ in you, his church, the hope of glory. So this is my conclusion. I believe the church ought to have all wisdom and all knowledge. That didn't go over too good. If God is the one who gives it, he says, any of you who lack wisdom, ask of God, he gives it to you liberally. Then why isn't the church operating with great wisdom and knowledge? I'll tell you why. Because we don't believe we're complete in him. And that is the key to this scripture, understanding. If you ever get, I feel a chill bump coming. I'll tell you, if you ever get the fact that God is in you, who knows all things, who understands everything, he knows your future. I'm not just talking to the graduates here, but I am speaking to you, grad. He know. Hey, if I could point you to someone who could tell you everything that's going to happen in your life, would you want to talk to him? Amen. Will's saying, yeah. How about the rest of you? Yeah, rest of you? Yeah. I'd want to, hey, if I could talk to someone who could tell me everything. Well, guess what? I talked to him this morning. And I told him this. And I pray this way every day. I told it to the numerous class today. I tell God this every day like he don't know it, but I just need to know it myself. You're God and I'm not. Yeah. That is to say for Ronnie, God, I need you. I don't know it all. I've not got it all figured out, but I know you have. Hello? I know you've got it all figured out. You know the future. You know the plans. Should I second guess God? And I've seen churches do it. I've seen people do it. And they won't step out in faith because we don't have the confidence that we are who and what we are in Christ. We don't have the confidence that we're complete in him. If we could ever see this happen in the church, where we would have that kind of confidence. This is the mystery of God, that God would join Jews and Gentiles in his church. Now listen to this. Jesus walked on this earth in a physical form, right? Yeah. Jesus is still walking on this earth in a spiritual form called the body of Christ. So if he walked on this earth in a physical form, and people were healed and souls were saved, and he taught as one like they never heard with authority, then why don't we as a church do that? In other words, we are the body of Christ. Can I get an agreement? Amen. And if we are the body of Christ, then why don't we believe God that he didn't make a mistake in saving us, and he's put us together in this body that we might operate with all wisdom and knowledge. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you, the church ought to be the smartest people on earth. Really, because we serve God. Hello? And he knows all things, and he's given us all things, the Bible says. The mystery here, what Paul is saying to believe is this: you need not go in search of higher truth and lofty science, for in Christ is found all wisdom and knowledge, and we are complete in him. Christ is made unto us, he says, wisdom, righteous sanctification, and redemption. What was the man's name? I had it on my mind this morning. Stephen Hawkins, you know, guy who he just died in March. They said he was one of the greatest minds. And he had it all wrong. Yeah. He had God all wrong. He was known for his black hole, and I guess that's where he's at. I'll tell you, without God, you're nothing. You can have all the knowledge. You can be a Stephen Hawkins or however you say his name, and you can be so smart. But if you leave God out of the equation, can I just say what you really are? You're dumb. I mean, that's a Greek word that I invented. I mean, it's just amazing. When you leave God out of knowledge, what do you have? You have nothing. So what good is it to graduate? What good is it to have a master's degree? What good is it to have a doctorate? If you lose your soul, if you lose your whole life, I mean, hey, without Jesus, you're nothing. And by the way, I'm prepared for the graduation of all graduations. How about you? Because the graduation of all graduations is when he calls us home. And if you don't know Jesus, you can say, well, I figured you out, God, and I've got all knowledge. It won't get you to heaven. There's only one that's going to get you to heaven. I got to finish up here. Standing against evil practices. Now, this is the time, and by the way, you know, I got to thinking, my brain goes all the time. Mike was talking about, you know, about a stew and stewing things up. You know, my last name starts with stew. So I'm just going to stew some things up right now. You say, preacher, you always like to do that. No, I don't like to do it. But I'm going to talk about Ouija boards for a minute. And I'm going to talk about some evil practices that are going on. And if you're dabbling with that kind of stuff, you are inviting the devil into your life. You are. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we're doing. And I know I'm going to name some things you may not like, but you know what? This is the way I look at my life. I've come too far not to obey God. You know, I want to finish well, and so I'm going to finish well with this message if it's the last one. Standing against evil practices. Maturity. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. You know, it's interesting. I've been a pastor for 40 years. How many people will come to the church and everybody wants to teach the youth? You know why they want to teach the youth? Because they see the youth as vulnerable. I have never had a person come into a church and say, Pastor, I want to teach the senior adults. Nobody. You know why? Senior adults have got their minds made up. Yeah. Senior adults know what they believe. You're not going to sway them with your enticing words. They got too much wisdom. They've been there and done that. But I'm going to tell you, the college campus now, the college, all colleges, even Christian colleges, it's nothing but a bunch of enticing words. Just because some man knows how to use longer words than you understand don't mean that he's smart, okay? I mean, maybe he has a great vocabulary. But there again, if he don't understand who is the creator of all, if you don't understand who God is, according to my understanding of Scripture, God knows it all, right? And there's no college professor, and there's no teacher's got it all figured out. Not like the college professor who said, once I was a tadpole beginning to begin. Then I was a frog with my tail stuck in. Then I was a monkey and a bamboo tree, and now I'm a professor with a PhD. God help us. You know what we all need? Maturity. Be mature enough to know what is of God and what's not of God. You say, well, how do you know the difference? Number one, you understand what truth is. And what is the definition of truth? God. God defines what truth is. Be mature enough. When Jesus was tempted, how did he stand against evil? By quoting Scripture. He quoted Scripture. You know what? People don't want to do it. That's what I love about the wine ministry here. If nothing else, they teach them to quote Scripture. And the Bible says the devil fled because Jesus quoted Scripture. He didn't flee because of Jesus in his bodily form. What offended the devil was the Word of God. You know, the devil believes and trembles, but the fact is, the Scripture offended him. As we grow in spiritual maturity by the study of God's Word, you can best stand against evil practices. The evil practices of Paul's day were all of these astro deities. And man, these people were all thinkers. Evil spirits were all around, commonly associated with pagan worship and astrology and magical practices. Warn you against horoscopes, Ouija board, craft. I would warn you against Harry Potter and the whole zodiac system because it's contrary to this book. Witchcraft is nothing for you to dabble with. You say, well, and by the way, as a teenager, I was this way. Oh, it won't hurt. It won't matter. You know what the devil's doing? He's reaching our little kids. You know, I didn't know this about the guy I mentioned a while ago, Stephen Hawkins. Did you know he wrote children's books? Yeah. He wanted to get their minds while they were young. And that's how the devil works. He wants to put something out there. It looks innocent. It's just a Ouija board. Do you know it has been known for a fact that demonic activity has happened with Ouija boards? Do your research. Be careful with sorcery and all this witchcraft mess and all this. I tell you, the zodiac system is very dangerous. You got to be careful, church. Paul emphasized that spirituality is not achieved by self-centered efforts to control one's passion, but by settling one's affection on Christ. And in doing so, you remove all that is contrary to the will of God, against God's will, because you've centered yourself on Christ. I got to move quickly. Militant. We got a lot of military people here. Let's get militant. Verse 5, he says, beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. These are military words. Order is a military term, and it means to stand shoulder to shoulder. That is what believers ought to be doing, standing shoulder to shoulder. Why do we have graduation Sunday? Why do we give you a gift? Look up here, graduates. We're saying to you, we stand shoulder to shoulder with you. You're not in this by yourself. And if you go in life on your own, it's your choosing. Because I believe you do have not only your family support, but you have your church support and so on. And that's the big thing I want to say Wednesday night to our church, and I hope every member can be here. Because the question is, why do we need to build a building? Why does it need to be built? And the thought process behind that from day one that I heard from this congregation was this: we build it for the community. We build it to reach the lost. We build it to help other people come to the knowledge of the truth. And how are we going to do that? In God's order. God has a plan. God has an order. And we do it shoulder by shoulder, standing shoulder to shoulder. That's what believers are to be doing. And then he says, steadfastness. It means to have a solid front, to be immovable. The literal translation would be stereotype, or the opposite of movable type. That isn't, don't be easily swayed. Don't be easily swayed. Stay in your ground. Believe what you believe and walk accordingly. And then third of all, master. As you have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him. We bow down to no other God, to no other man, but the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The term walk here refers to living. It's a metaphor of living life. The servant knows who his master is, and he does what his master says. We are called servants. We are bond slaves. With the Lord Jesus Christ, we do what the boss says. And if God tells you to do something, you do it for no other reason, for the fact that he said do it. Amen. Third, and I'm done. Number three, standing against educational pretense. And I want to explain what I mean. Standing against educational pretense. Boy, there's a lot out there, and it's confusing. You know, you think about talking about Satan. Has he not attacked our school system? I mean, where does the devil live today? It's like he is all over education. I mean, from the youngest to the oldest, the devil is having a heyday. And you know what? It shows in the behavior with a lot of students. The bullying and the unkindness and the meanness. Here's the educational myth. It says, it will make you wise. It will give you a secure future. It will bring you contentment. It will bring you power. This is all pretense. It will get you ahead of others. Folks, everything is not about education. It's good. I'm not putting down a good education. Everybody needs a good education. But if you don't know how to use it, what good is it? You may have a degree, and you may demand respect that people call you doctor. But you know what? You don't demand respect, and you don't earn respect just because you've got doctor in front of your name. It has more to do about it. In fact, you know, the people that I know who are really smart are those who are willing to serve others. You know, I've watched, in fact, medical doctors. You know, there are more medical doctors that love God than I know a doctor, I know him personally, had him speak at my church. His name is Dr. Hope. He really is a cancer doctor in Charlotte. And you know what he told me? He said, I don't care what anybody believes. I don't care if I'm operating on an atheist. He's at my table and I pray over him. Amen. He said, I've never done surgery without God. I want Dr. Hope. If I ever need any surgery, I'd want to go to Dr. Hope. Standing against these educational pretenses. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe that's without him. Man's pretense of theories and philosophies. 2 Timothy 3:7. Ever learning, listen to this, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Number one, if we're going to stand, we need to be rooted in the Word of God. You say, well, you're a preacher and I expect you to say that. Folks, let me tell you something. I didn't write this book, God did. And you are not very smart if you're not studying it. You're not. You know what? I'm going to study it, and I'm going to grow, and I'm going to learn. And by the way, who learns the most but the teacher? I'm going to challenge you. Get rooted in the Word of God. Let me show you two things real quick what he says. He says rooted and build up. Well, the word rooted is an agricultural word. The tense of the Greek word means this: once and for all, having been rooted. And you know what that belief, you know what I believe that teaching really is that in Jesus Christ, I don't need him but one time. I really believe that in the truth of the gospel, it's not because I'm a Baptist. I believe that when Jesus Christ comes in your heart, he gets rooted. He's there to stay. It's a one-time thing, just like I've got a mama and I've got a daddy, and there's not one thing I can do to change that. And you know what? What God did for me through Jesus Christ, I can't undo what God did. Amen. It's called born again. Rooted in the Word of God. Rooted. It means once and for all having been rooted. And then that's your agricultural word, but the word build up is an architectural word. It's the present tense, being built up. Rooted means rooted like a tree in a tree. A living thing. The root is where the life is. Your life is not to be like a tumbleweed where there are no roots. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You are to be rooted in life. Jesus is your life. And Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I wish to God I could just put my hand on every one of these students and give them an abundant life. But only Jesus can do that. The word abundant means life to the fullest. And I'm not just up here publicly saying this, but I mean it when I look you in your eyes. I wish to God's very best for every one of you. I do. I wish God, you know what? I wish you all would go out and do well in life, keep God first, make millions of dollars, just send $1 million back here so we can pay for the building, all right? No, seriously, I would love to see God. I enjoy seeing people succeed in God because God determines. You want to make it in life? Then get rooted in God. Amen. Really. The word abundant means life to their very fullest. And that's what God wants for you. When God the Holy Spirit comes to the human spirit speaks to your mind, emotion, and will. And you know what happens? Something beautiful. He motivates your body, and you're going to walk as Jesus walked. You're going to talk as Jesus talked. It's not a system of beliefs like the Gnostics. It's about your life. Rooted in the ways of God. I'm almost done. Rooted in the ways of God. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. The ways of man are found in philosophy and psychology and his tradition of learning and thinking. Rudiments means the ABCs of a world system. We want to be rooted, as I said to our youth, and not polluted. College will pollute you. Been there and done that. It'll mess you up. I'll never forget the professor. And I appreciated what he said. Today I'm teaching evolution, and I don't believe any of it. No, I like a professor like that. He's telling me the truth. Amen? There's a lot of theories that man's have. They have a lot of philosophical thoughts, and it's wonderful to be a good thinker. But you know what? God gave us a brain, and we're to use it for His glory, and we need to be rooted in the Word of God and in the ways of God. We need not go in search of a higher truth or a law for a science, for in Christ is found all wisdom, all knowledge, and we are complete in Him. That's my message. Go home. Nobody did. Anyway, folks, that's what it's all about. That's it. And then rooted in the will of God. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 9 and 10. And ye are complete in Him which is the head of all principalities and power. Complete is a nautical term. And it's best translated, you are ready for the voyage of life in Him. Listen carefully. And this is it. Students, this is beautiful. It's translated, you are ready for the voyage of life in Him. You're ready for the voyage of life in Christ. And whatever you need for the voyage of life, you're going to find it in Him. In Christ alone, you have all power over all principalities and powers because Jesus Christ is the head of all. This truth is the greatest truth I know. I'm complete in Him who has all knowledge, who has all truth, who is over all principalities and all power. So what's your question? What is it you're in need of today, church? Are you carried away by human philosophy? Then turn to Christ. Are you carried away by enticing words? Are you carried away by the systems and traditions of men? Then turn to Christ. He is the answer to life, and you are complete in Him. Precious friend, you can go deeper into Jesus, but you'll never go beyond Jesus. It's not Jesus plus, it's Jesus completely, totally. Make Him your Savior and Lord today. Let's bow our head. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. Folks, I'm going to ask you right now this invitation. Would you just simply hear God? Father, I can't speak to no one's heart, but You can. And You know every heart here today. And my greatest fear is that there are going to be those to get up and walk out of here who have not been made complete. They know that there's much lacking in their life. They're like the prodigal son. They've gone out. They've taken their father's inheritance. They've partied big. But they found themselves in the hog parlor of life with man's pursuits, earthly pursuits. That's where the prodigal son ended up because he was searching for an earthly pursuit. But, oh God, I want to praise You in this prayer that he thought, I could go back to the Father. And He has bread enough to spare. I could be hired as a servant. But when He comes back home, the Father's waiting on Him with open arms. And He puts a robe on His back and shoes on His feet, kills the fat of calf, puts a ring on His finger, and says, this is My Son. He was lost, but now he's found. Lord, I pray that there be those prodigal sons and daughters to come today. They've tried it out there in the world. It didn't work. It didn't work. And You've been trying to get their attention. You've been speaking to hearts, I believe, here for weeks as we've been talking about American idols. God, You've named some people's idols. I know You have because they've shared it with me. Now, God, may we do something about it. May we bow down to You, God, And may you make us complete. Thank you that we are complete in Jesus Christ. We've got everything we need in a Savior. And I pray if someone don't know you today in pardon and forgiveness of sin, today would be the day they'd surrender their life to you. In Jesus' name, amen.